all of us that are quote unquote successful have fail way more often than we succeed, and have like sleepless nights, and like have nights where we have to work, you know, hours into the night and can't spend time with our family or friends or do the stuff that we want, because we have to work in those things and get that stuff done. And if it doesn't get done, we're letting a ton of people down, right? Those hard times, people don't talk about those. And I love to talk about them, not because I want to be negative, but because we need to recognize that those are the things that happen, and that when you go and start your business, that's the stuff that's going to happen.
This is the Angles of Latitude podcast, session number 116 with webinar guru and voiceover talent extraordinaire, Tim Page.
This is squadron leader confirming hostiles inbound. Prepare for battle.
What you're about to hear is the integration of life.
Clarity is power.
If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right.
Liberty.
We choose to go to the moon.
It's happening.
And all things geek.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know how to answer that.
You got a badass over here.
Welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome again to the Angles of Latitude podcast. I'm your host, JC Preston, and co-hosting today with me is Veronica Kieran, founder and host of the Fempreneur Forum group on Facebook. And hope you're having a great week. Thank you for spending some time with us today. If this is your first time listening in this show, we bring you life lessons or a message from successful entrepreneurs, experts, and artists to help you do your life's work and live a lifestyle that you're proud of. This week, we're celebrating Valentine's Day, or as I used to call it, Singles Awareness Day, and I hope you were able to spend it with the people that you wanted to, whether, you know, spouse, friends, if you're doing the whole singles awareness thing. And we always had fun back in college when we were doing the single awareness stuff, so there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to celebrate your relationships during that day. But for me, you know, it's not a super happy addition, as you might have heard in the Junto or read on the blog. I had to put to rest a good friend of mine last Friday, and it's never easy euthanizing pets, and especially because you feel that you're losing a family member. And you know, Sadie, who was my mom's dog, was definitely that. She was truly a family member, and in fact, you know, I think her and her sister have been a test for actually Maria's and I's early part of our marriage, you know, these first couple of years. And I'm proud to say that, you know, Sadie was definitely up to the task, and she completed it quite well. Another thing is that I'm glad that I was able to be there with her on her last day. And, you know, while it's tough now, I know that the pain will get easier to endure. And in fact, on the blog, I ended up writing a post about the experience and a few tactics that might help you if you're find yourself in a similar situation. But that said, guys, love is definitely a finicky thing, and for many of us creatives, it's the driving force behind what we do. And in today's chat with Tim Page, we discussed the importance of his family and how he self-imposes limits on his work so that he has plenty of time to spend with his family. We also have a few random topics, such as what tea he's a fan of and why he prefers working with service-based businesses versus ones who are focused mainly on products. And of course, like we always do on the show, we'll discuss how he got to this point in his career, where he's been doing work for people like Jimmy Kimmel and commercials for Fox and NBC. But before we get to that, I want to remind you guys of our friends over at Fizzle. And, you know, in this chat, you're going to find out that Tim is friends with some of the folks that really helped me get started. Specifically, he mentions Pat Flynn and John Lee Dumas. And if you're fans of theirs, you'll be glad to know that they have a few courses in Fizzle. And if you haven't heard what Fizzle is, I would say that it's one among the best online resources for becoming a digital entrepreneur. If you want a one-stop source to learn about podcasting with John Lee himself, or learn about affiliates with Pat, you know, those are some of the courses that you can find in there. However, there's so much more. Maybe you want to know how to write inspiring blog posts that like similar to what Leo Babota does at Zen Habits. You know, maybe you want to find out how Jordan Harbinger of Art of Charm got his business started. These are just a hint of the courses and interviews that you can find within Fizzle. And not only that, but with the community and the weekly coaching sessions, you'll get plenty of help to get you going on your entrepreneurial journey. Get started today for 5 weeks free by visiting newinceptions.com/fizzle. Again, that's newinceptions.com/FIZZLE. So, all right, folks, show notes and show note extras of our conversation with Tim the Page are at newinceptions.com/116. And as usual, I'll be on after the show to fill you in on anything we might have missed. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the show. JC here with Veronica. How you doing, Veronica?
Hey, I'm good. How's everybody out there? What's up?
A lot of crazy things going on this week for you, I heard.
Yeah. Today's the last day of this awesome online challenge. It's the first challenge that I've been running for my coaching clients, and we are having so much fun. And I'm so just like, oh, it's so good to watch people grow in their businesses. And it feels so good to like know that I had something to do with that for some people. Oh, it's so fun.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's through your Facebook group, correct?
That's in my Facebook group, the Fempreneur Forum.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome. You and I both have recently started Facebook groups for realsies, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think you're killing it.
Yeah. And I can tell you that one of the things that, I think that they're with as much as people use their phones to cruise around the internet, especially just go to Facebook and just scroll on Facebook. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just makes sense to be able to use a Facebook group as a way of getting in front of people anymore. So
yeah, and you know, I resisted it. JC was trying to convince me for the longest time. You know, you gotta get into Facebook groups; they're the thing. It's what's happening. And I was like, no, I refuse social media. And now here I am, running my own group, embracing the monster.
Yeah, and that's you just gotta go where whatever the technology is, making us go to, I suppose, because. For the longest time, it was blogs, podcasts, and YouTube videos, right? And now it's, okay, we'll do this. So anyway, so today's guest is a guy who, recently left the corporate world, quotes there as, he wanted to do his own thing. Having been a voice actor for Jimmy Kimmel, CW, NBC, UFC, Travel Channel, and others, he had a lot of background in kind of a big world, and then moved over to a company that we're going to be talking about, which, was kind of an exciting when I heard that he was actually going to be working with them. And then he decided, like all good things, back when we interviewed Barrett Brooks, who left Fizzle to go to ConvertKit, today's guest left Lead Pages to kind of do his own thing. And so it's kind of a flip, a mirror, I guess you could say there. But, his recent venture has been into educating folks about webinars. And specifically, he helps the smartest companies in the world, which, again, is something that we'll figure out what that exactly means in today's conversation. So today's guest is Tim Page. Hey, Tim, thanks for coming on the show, man. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing so good. Thanks for having me. I'm forewarning you. I mean, this is going to get weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm looking real weird.
Looking forward to it.
Yes.
Now, it started off weird when we were talking before we started the show, and things were just, they just spiraled, and then we had to pull it together, and now it's just going to fall apart again.
The intro's done. So let's just be silly. If anyone out there in Cyberlands hears me sniffing, it's because I'm crying because I'm laughing so hard, not because.
It's not because you're getting ready for a party.
Wow.
You're like, oh, we got to start the podcast now.
Party!
Oh, shoot.
Forewarn you.
We went there. Yes, we did.
So we met back in, 2012, which is already 5 years ago, in the foundation. And that was one of Dane's first classes, I want to say.
It's like, the second one.
The second one. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that exploded into something big. And talking about transitions, Dane has left that to go pursue his music career. And, we had him on the show talking about that. And, I think that kind of leads a little bit of what we're going to be discussing about transitions and everything that you're up to. But yeah. How did you get into the foundation?
I had been listening to a lot of podcasts, and I think I heard Dane on maybe Smart Passive Income. But I heard him on some podcasts, and I loved what he was talking about. I loved, you know, the idea of, you know, calling people to kind of get that idea. And I thought that was really cool. And at the time, I was selling vacuums door to door, making really good money doing it, but hated it. I was working 16-hour days, 6 days a week. And, you know, my wife and I wanted to have kids and wanted to have a life in general and couldn't do it. So I loved that idea and the idea of being like a, you know, an entrepreneur and working from home. And so I enrolled in or I applied to the foundation, and I couldn't believe I was accepted. and then but yeah, it was a great education for me. To get in there, I met so many cool people, you know, you and Cam and a bunch of other really cool people that I've stayed in touch with, at least to some extent over the last 5 years. And I learned, you know, I think the interesting thing is I learned more about marketing from their program than the actual program itself, which is, you know, the program is good, but I learned a ton about marketing and creating anticipation and desire, because I remember like really wanting to get in. And like talking to my wife about like, you know, we all applied and haven't heard anything yet and blah, 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 blah. And yeah, so that really made me really want to get in. And then when it was announced and how much money it was, and I didn't have, you know, that kind of money to spend, but I found a way to do it. It was like, you know, I wanted it bad. So the marketing was brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think at the time, I mean, I got into the light tier. I was one of those lower folks, but you got in. Were you in the mid range, or were you in the elite spectrum?
Yeah, I was in the mid range.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And they stopped doing that afterwards. But had you gotten into voice acting by then? Or
Like just started. I was doing a little bit, and it was only basically for podcasts. So I was doing a lot of podcast intros at that point. And I had just at that point started to wonder what else was out there for voice acting. You know, I specifically remember it was right around that time frame that I was watching AMC with my wife. We love The Walking Dead. and that, you know, the voice of AMC, he's like, coming up next on AMC's The Walking Dead. Like, I remember I would walk around the house doing that. Like, it's time to make dinner. And I would just do that. And of course, annoy the crap out of my wife. But I was like, I want to do that. You know, there's all these things, there's characters and all that stuff, which is super fun. But I was like, I really want to do that. I want to be the voice of shows and networks because I love TV. So I actually, and this might be a story for later, but I'm telling it now because that's what I do. I looked up that guy because I wanted to know, I wanted to talk to him. He was doing what I wanted to do, and I wanted to talk to him. So I looked him up. I found his name's Rick Wasserman, and found out he does all sorts of stuff. I mean, he was like Hulk on the Planet Hulk cartoon movie. Mm-hmm. And like he does all this stuff. He was Lion King on Broadway and just unbelievable actor. But he's also the whole voice of AMC. So anyway, I found his email. I sent him an email and I was like, hey, I want to do what you do. Can you teach me? And he was generous enough to actually coach me. And he taught me so much about the industry. And he was like, you don't want to do what I do. You want to do what you do. And it's like, this whole opened up a whole world for me. But yeah, that's how I kind of got into it.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So real quick, you have this interest in voice acting. You're more or less, you know, following, not more or less, I mean, you're going to be paying $5,000 or whatever it was to get into the foundation. Mm-hmm. How did you, tell me about the path between what you learned there and going into Lead Pages?
Sure. So I actually stayed in the foundation for a month, and then I emailed Dion and asked for my money back. Because first off, I really needed the money, like really bad. We were struggling really bad. Things were not working out. Bad few months in business. And honestly, I went through and I tried really hard and I was just not having success. I was not getting ideas. I was not like just really struggled, and not for not trying, but it wasn't working for me. And so what I did was I was like, okay, I don't think that's for me. I don't think, you know, software is for me. I don't think that's the route I want to go. What I'm really loving doing is podcasting. I had a horrible podcast at the time, which was ironically called the Awesome Podcast. It wasn't awesome. It was horrible. Should have been called the Horrible Podcast. But I was doing that and I was loving it. Like I looked so looked forward to doing it all the time. And I ended up connecting with a guy who at the time, nobody knew who he was. His name was John Lee Dumas. And we hit it off. I had him come on my podcast and he had just started Entrepreneur on Fire. And I was the first person to ever interview him on a podcast, which is hysterical.
Nice.
And we became really good friends. And after a little while, he was like, you know what? I want to start a second podcast because my podcast is all about other people. I want to talk about what I've learned in my business. And I want to have somebody else who's a co-host to talk about what they are learning. And so we started a show together. We did our own podcast together for, I don't know, it wasn't very long, 8 months or so. And through that, he had interviewed Clay, the CEO of Lead Pages on Entrepreneur on Fire. And Clay said, I want to start a podcast for Lead Pages, but I don't want to host. Do you know anybody that would be a great host? And John preferred me. And it was interesting because at that point, I didn't know a lot about conversion rate optimization or lead generation. Like I had a foundation, but nice. I wasn't like, you know, some foremost expert. But the cool thing, and this is one of the coolest things about podcasting, is that you don't necessarily have to be the expert. You just have to be the facilitator of experts, like the facilitator of that information. So I joined the team at Lead Pages and we started a podcast called Conversion Cast, which went on to have like, you know, almost 200 episodes. And it's one of the proudest things that I've done in my life. I think it's a great podcast and I've now handed it off, obviously. But through that, this was really funny. Clay was hosting all the webinars for Lead Pages, and most of Lead Pages was built on the backs of webinars. Like, you know, when I joined, they had 16,000 customers and, you know, a huge percentage of them bought through webinars. And one day Clay got super, super sick and he had a webinar the next day. Mm. And he's like, Tim, have you ever presented in front of small groups? And I'd done a lot of sales in my younger life. So I was like, yeah. He's like, all right, I want you to host the webinar tomorrow. Here's the transcript. You can just read from it if you want to. You know, I don't expect it to be great, but I don't want to drop all those people. So I took the script. I did as much as I could, learned as much as I could. I went through the slides and everything. And then the next day I hosted it and I out-converted Clay's average webinar. And he literally got on the phone with me, sick and all. And he was like, you're going to host the webinars from now on. So then I hosted since that point over 1,000 webinars for Lead Pages.
Wow.
And several hundred since I've left. So it was really weird how that came about. And now, you know, webinars are, you know, a huge part of my business.
Mm-hmm. Right. So Tim, I'm kind of curious, have you seen the movie In a World?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, so many of those people are in my world. Either friends or friends of friends. It's an unbelievable cast and great movie.
Yeah, it's such a good movie. It's so funny. So I'm curious.
And it's really, by the way, it's really accurate. A lot of my friends, my female friends who are voice actors, mm-hmm. are seeing like how hard it is to break into, you know, trailers and promos and stuff, because it's, you know, video games, there's more opportunities, you know, cartoons and that kind of stuff, commercials even. But like the promo world, which is where I operate, and then like trailers are still predominantly men, like mm-hmm. Over 90%. Mm-hmm. And I have a couple of friends that are just like at the top of their game, really fantastic, like the best of the best. And even they are struggling to get some of those promo jobs. So yeah, I thought the movie was like a perfect portrayal of what it's like.
Mm-hmm. It's awesome. So with your voice acting now, I'm curious, with that transition for you, was there a point where, you know, you're saying that you wanted to do what you were seeing on AMC, and so you reached out to the guy who was doing it, but was there like anything else leading up to that where like you were told as a kid, like, oh, you're really good at doing strange voices, or did you know, like, were you the class clown, or was there anything else that preceded that besides just kind of like seeing this show on AMC and wanting to do it?
Funny enough, it was, I spent most of my young adult life, like after high school, as a touring musician. Like I was in a pop punk band and toured all over the country.
Nice.
And performing, that was always my passion. Like mm-hmm. music, I always thought I was going to play music for my entire life. And then, you know, we got signed and we did all these tours. And at one point I was like, you know, this, the playing music part and the writing music part is awesome, but the business part of it sucks. And not having money to eat anything other than Taco Bell sucks. So, but that, like, I always knew I wanted to perform. That was always the thing. But no, it was never voices. It was never, I had never had any idea that that's what I wanted to do. I just knew that I wanted to perform and I wanted to make people smile. And I love TV so much that there was like, it was a perfect bridge for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can tell you like to perform.
What?
I actually was in Iceland with a musician, and he was saying some of the same things. We were like, he had these amazing experiences. Like, you never end up sleeping on the top of a pool table one night in the middle of a tour, unless you are, you know, like, so he's like, yeah, but you know, I'm 38 and I really, it's time. And so we talked a lot about that and that transition. So it's interesting how you kind of took that momentum and still found a way and an outlet. Cause I think you'd probably be going stir crazy right now if you had to be in an office personally.
I think so. Yeah, an office that wasn't my own that I covered with comic books and built a voiceover booth in. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
But now I have that opportunity. Like, that's the cool thing is, you know, voiceover is like a performance-based medium where I get to play and have fun and also like try to deliver something that the client's really happy about. And webinars are the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most of my webinars that I give are, you know, for software companies and stuff. So that has the potential to be really boring if you're not willing to just have fun with something and break the mold, which is what I'm clearly willing to do. And so, yeah, so I get to perform on webinars and I put in, you know, comic book references that nobody gets and, you know, memes in my webinars. And it's like, I have this opportunity to be ridiculous all day long. So it kind of worked out that happened to be like the two areas of my world that collided.
So I'm kind of curious, like, what is a common misconception people have about voice acting?
There's a ton.
Yeah.
I think one is that it's easy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you hear people say, like, well, you just talk for a living. Like, people, when they try to hire me and I give them my rates are high. You know, I'm a union voice actor and I've been doing this a long time. And, like, I tell people my rates and they're like, but you're just talking. Can't you just, like, go? And I'm like, oh, yeah? Try it. Like, try that. Do what you're looking for. And it's, you know, my booth is a custom built vocal booth. It's soundproof and sound treated. And I have all this equipment and, you know, experience. So that's one thing. And I'm still like, you know, I'm like in the middle of the road in terms of, you know, people doing this stuff. You know, I have friends that are the voice of like Proactive and Fox and, you know, unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing is that it's easy. And another thing is that it's like, we get paid a good gajillion dollars an hour. you know, the vast majority of the work we do is auditioning. I spend well over 90% of my time in voiceover doing auditions that I will A, not get paid for, and B, never hear back from.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just to put it in perspective, you know, like I'll do an audition. You know, so one thing, I do a lot of work for Jimmy Kimmel, right? And one of the things is, you know, we get auditions from them like every other day, and you'll do the audition and you for Kimmel, because it's that day, they record it that day within the next couple hours. If you audition, you cannot leave your house. Like, you have to be there in case they call. And so, they're good about it because they'll actually send you an email and say, hey, this has been booked. So you're free to go do whatever you want for the night. And if you book it, you literally can't leave until after 8 o'clock, because that's when they're done and that's when they actually tape the show.
Wow.
But other things, like, for example, if you do promos, like I auditioned for Fox. If I did an audition for Fox, they'll say, this will record like in the next couple of days. So just be on the lookout. You'll do the audition and you literally don't hear anything unless you book it.
Yeah.
So you and 200 other people do the audition and one of those people knows that it was booked.
Yeah. Mm. It reminds me a lot of like the entrepreneurial experience where we see people who are, you know, super successful, quote unquote, depending on what your idea of success. But there's so much stuff that went into it beforehand. There's no such thing as that like overnight. You have so much work that you have to do in order to have those little blips of like mini fame or whatever, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You don't see the, and this, oh God, I love talking about this because it's the real experience. You don't see the waking up in the middle of the night at 2 a.m. like freaking out because you had a dream that you're that all this horrible stuff happened in your business, or freaking out because you don't know if you're going to be able to make payroll, or freaking out because that launch that you did that you spent $10,000 on Facebook ads didn't work and nobody bought your product, or you spent 6 months building something because people said they wanted it and it didn't work. Like, you know, we all love to talk about the success, but all of that crap, that's way more than the success. Like, all of us that are quote unquote successful have fail way more often than we succeed, and have like sleepless nights and like have nights where we have to work, you know, hours into the night and can't spend time with our family or friends or do the stuff that we want because we have to work in those things and get that stuff done. And if it doesn't get done, we're letting a ton of people down, right? Those hard times, people don't talk about those.
No.
And I love to talk about them, not because I want to be negative, but because we need to recognize that those are the things that happen, and that when you go and start your business, that's the stuff that's going to happen.
Yeah, right. It's going to shape your business. Oh, I could talk about that all day.
Yeah. Or when you have a service business and you have a client and you sign a contract with them and it's, you know, for a certain thing, and you're like, yeah, well, we have a contract. And then something happens in their business that means that they literally can't hold up their end of the bargain. What are you going to do? You know what I mean? Like, and if that's something you relied on for your income, for your business to be able to pay the bills, what are you going to do? Yeah. Are you going to sue this client because they breached the contract because something didn't work in their business like it should have, and they don't have the means to do it, or it would literally destroy their business? What are you going to do? Those things are reality.
So
that's
real.
Part of the business, right?
Yep.
And on the flip side, you know what? Those, when you see those huge successes and somebody rocks it and they built something that meant something that changed people's lives, that's the other part. Like, it definitely outweighs the bad part. But I think you need to see the bad with the good.
So going through here, let's go back onto our chronological little quest or mission that we're going through of being awesome.
Never.
you get on the lead pages, right? And you were still pursuing voice acting at the time.
Yes.
Where did your success in voice acting, like, obviously you don't start off with, you know, jobs with Jimmy Kimmel and Fox and all these things right away. How did you move into those roles?
Slowly over time. So for the first few years, all of my work was podcast intros, which was really fun. I cut my teeth. It's way different from any other voiceover work. I have kind of a roster now because I still do podcast intros, but I produce them as well. Aww. And I have a roster of people, and these voice actors that are on my roster are top of the business. Like, they're the best of the best, and they work for these huge clients, right? And so, but I bring them in to do podcast intros and I have to direct them because it's such a different world. It's different from radio, from TV, from commercials, from promos. It's totally different. So anyway, I did that for a few years, and then I joined some online casting sites, one of which is the worst company in the history of companies. Probably not that bad, but they're really bad. They rip people off left and right, both client and voice actor. Horrible. I'm not even going to give them a name. But there's another one that's really great called Voice 123. It's basically you pay $400 a year and you get access to auditions, and people post auditions and you can do them, and it's you versus 100 other people, and some people get the job, some people don't. And it's a really great way to kind of cut your teeth. And that's where I cut my teeth. But what's really funny is that my first job ever on Voice 123 was a narration for a special on the Travel Channel. And I had no idea what I was doing, like no clue. And the guy the producer was the nicest guy on the planet. And he was like, you know what? I just really like your voice. And I think, you know, like, you don't sound like a radio guy or whatever. You don't sound like you've been doing this for years, and that's what we want, and I'll direct you through it. And so this 1 hour narration ended up going for, like, it was like 6 hours worth of recording, which is not normal. It doesn't normally take nearly that long, but the guy was so patient with me. And from there, then most of my work after that, like, I got that and I was like, I got the bug. Most of my work after that was like, you know, Tom's car repair shop commercial in, you know, the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And, internet explainer videos and all this stuff, and tons of that forever. And the occasional little thing, I would like get this client that was, you know, whatever, a little bigger and paid a little more money. And slowly over time, it started to build up. But one thing that I did that I think is different from what a lot of people do, especially in voiceover, is I reinvested every single dollar I ever made in voiceover into training, which in the beginning wasn't that much. But after a little while, it started to be a lot of money that I was reinvesting. And so I did one-on-one coaching with Rick Wasserman, who did the AMC stuff, and then moved on to all these other really amazing coaches who taught me how to do promos and how to do commercials and how to do narrations. And still to this day, I coach every single week with different coaches. And through that, like, I got better, like, fast, way faster than a lot of people who just kind of try to figure it out. And so I tell everybody, if you want to get into voiceover, get a coach. Do whatever you need to do. Like, you know, have a side hustle so you can pay for your coach. I don't care. Get a coach if you really want to do voiceover, because it will get you there so much more quickly.
Now, is there specific voiceover coaches, or could you use someone like, say, Roger Love, who's a, you know, presentation sort of?
No,
you know,
it's gotta be voiceover.
Gotcha.
It's not even like, people will tell you you should get an acting coach, and I think that's important at some point, but a voiceover coach that's even specific to what you want to do. Because I have 4 coaches right now, and they all teach different things. Like, I, 2 of them teach promos, because that's the area that I focus most on. But I have a narration coach and a commercial coach. And it's all different. It's vastly different. And, you know, characters, that's vastly different. And telephony, like, if you think about the people that say, thank you for calling, blah, 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 blah. That's an area of voiceover. And, you know, there's so many different areas of voiceover that you never even think of. Like Siri. You know, you think of Siri on your iPhone. That's actually a person. Her name is Susan Bennett, and she does that, and that she did Siri. And, you know, she's big in the voiceover world. She's a wonderful person. And the Laughing Cow is a friend of mine. You know, the person that voices the Laughing Cow.
Yeah.
All of that, like, you never think of that. You just don't.
No.
But that's the world. And so to answer your question again, yes, specific voiceover coach. Once you've figured it out in the specific industry, or you know, niche of voiceover that you want to get into, is absolutely critical.
And a great way of going about and finding those kind of individuals would be just Googling or Facebook, or
I would join a couple of Facebook groups. You mentioned Facebook groups. I love. I'm in all, well, not all, but a lot of the Facebook groups for voiceover, like a lot of them. And that's where you can get in there and you can get community feedback on coaches, because there are a lot of predatory coaches in voiceover. Aww. I mean, there's a lot of predatory coaches in general, but in voiceover, it's real bad, because there's a whole lot of people that are like, I want to be a voice actor and make $1 million. And there's a whole lot of coaches that are like, absolutely, give me $1,000 and I'll teach you. Ugh. And it's just not, that's not the case. The best coaches will tell you that this is super hard and it's going to take you forever and it sucks a lot of the time. That's the best coach will tell you that. And that sounds crazy, because maybe that's not the case with a lot of coaching. But in voiceover, it's important to know what you're getting into, because it does suck a lot of the time. It sucks. Even to this day, like I have had a couple of weeks that have been really bad over the past couple of weeks, until 2 days ago when I booked another Jimmy Kimmel thing. But prior to that, I had some really bad weeks and I was really down.
Yeah.
And it happens. It just happens. And you need a coach who's willing to say that. And the only way to find those coaches, I think, is to get in the community and find out who people recommend. Or you could, I don't know, reach out to me. I'll tell you my coaches' names. I don't care.
As a coach, but not, I'm not a voiceover coach, of course. I'm an entrepreneur coach, but I can agree with that there can be some really bad coaches out there who are just kind of yes men. But the best coaches, at least for myself, like I think it's really important to be upfront and to say right away, like, this is not easy what you're trying to do. And that's why you know, it's good we're going to work together, but this is how you deal with those really hard weeks and those bad times, because they are natural. And just as we were talking about before, they're super important, because they are the forge in which the steel is made. And then all of a sudden you have this great win, and everything that you dealt with, all those painful nights, go into that and make it that much more possible.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah. And when you book, in the case of voiceover, when you book that gig, whatever that gig is, even at the smallest of gigs that doesn't pay much money, it means so much, because you put in all that time and you've done those sleepless nights and you've agonized over it, and then you book it. Somebody validates, like, they're like, you know what, what you just did is so good that I'm willing to give you money to do what you just did for me, for my business, to represent my brand.
Yeah.
A quick example I signed with an agency, Atlas Talent in LA and New York, and they are cream of the crop, mm-hmm. you know, one of the top agencies in voiceover. And it's unbelievable for me to sign with them, having as little experience as I have and booked as little as I have before I signed with them. And I was like, God, oh, this is going to be hysterical. I'm auditioning against Bob Bergen, who's the voice of Porky Pig and has been for 25 years. Wow. He and I auditioned for the same stuff. And these unbelievable people that you would recognize what they do. And then there's little old me, right? So I'm auditioning, and within two weeks, I booked my first thing with them. And I was like losing my mind because it was this thing for Nickelodeon. And I grew up on Nick, right? Mm-hmm. And it was actually like a pitch for a show on Nick. And I didn't know anything about it. I'm like, I don't care. It's awesome. This is so cool. And the show never became a thing. And it paid like almost nothing because it was a pitch. And I couldn't have cared less. I'm like, I signed with the big agency and all of a sudden all the jobs are going to be like $10,000. And the first job was like $75. And I was like, I don't care. I don't care. I booked the job. Like, I put in so much work for this. And this validates that I beat out these other guys. Probably yeah. because they didn't audition for it because they knew it was the $75 thing or whatever. But I didn't care. Yeah. I didn't care. I validated it. And now I've been with them for, you know, almost 2 years and booked these amazing things and had these opportunities, but still put in tons of effort to get whatever I do get. And I still love every single thing I book.
So I told you at the beginning of the show that I was feeling snarky today, right? so I just kind of want to throw you... I want to see what you say here. So with regards to webinars, which are a little bit more exposure, because typically with a webinar, you're doing some video in addition to audio, but even if you're not
me, but yeah.
Okay. So I'm kind of curious, like if I was to give you $1 million, is there still a topic? Like what topic would you never touch for a webinar? What could I not hire you even for $1 million to do a webinar on?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if there is one.
$1 million.
I mean, like, if I had to give a webinar and convince people of something, what would be the thing I would not convince them of? Or just in general?
That, like, you would not put your name on, that you would not, you would not spend the time on, you wouldn't want to be touching.
There's that in that way, there's probably a few.
Okay.
Like, I would not. Religion, a religious one, not any particular religion, and mm-hmm. not that I'm against religion or anything. Just that's not a world that I want to be involved in because I think whatever's right for you is right for you. Mm-hmm. I'm not. Yeah, that would be one. I might do a political one, but I might not.
Mm.
It's funny because a lot of people like religion and politics, but like I'd probably do a political one as long as I had the say in what I would be talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, religion, no. Like, no matter what, regardless, even if I could say what I wanted, I probably wouldn't do that.
So are you, with voice acting and webinars, is that where all of your weight and effort is going these days? Or do you have any secret side projects that we can get you to talk about?
Nope, that's it. I have an idea for something that I may do way down the road if I'm like, God, I just really have these other things dialed in and I need something. I want to do, I have this thing that I am completely passionate about, Tulsi tea. Have you ever heard of Tulsi
yes.
tea?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I love Tulsi tea so much. And I feel like so few people don't know about Tulsi tea that I would start a Tulsi tea brand and just market the crap out of Tulsi tea. But I think I'd only want to do that because I think it's so great.
Actually,
it's like meditation in a cup.
I disagree. I think Pu'er is meditation in a cup, but we can duke that out later.
I don't know what that is.
Pu'er?
I don't know what that is.
It's tea that's fermented in a cave for a month.
Is it like similar to kombucha or what?
No, no, it's the leaves. And so it's just dried leaves, but they're super earthy and they're a little bit probiotic because they've been fermented. They're really good.
Mm.
Good and stinky tea.
All right. You need to send over a link.
We're going to have to, yeah.
Let me try
We're going to have to talk about this.
So, yeah, well, and there's a, just to add to the collection of teas here, have you heard of, at least up in Grand Rapids, have you heard of Argo?
Yeah.
Nope.
We don't. Do we have any Argo shops? I'm not sure if we have any Argo shops here, but there's one in Chicago.
Yeah. So.
Somebody told me about a mushroom one. Reishi?
That sounds familiar. I forget what it's
Reishi,
called.
Reishi.
Yeah.
R-E-I-S-H-I. Yeah. So it's like, it's a certain mushroom, and then you do it just like a tea.
Uh-huh.
And apparently it's the same thing. And if you mix that with Tulsi, it's like
heaven.
Yeah, I guess that's so I have to try it. But And I don't know, Tulsi's enough for me. I swear to you. So here's an interesting thing about me. I've never partook in any kind of, like, I've never smoked anything. I've never done nothing. Like, no, nothing. I drink occasionally, but, like, nothing else. And so I have no idea what it's like to be high. But so I always make this joke that, like, Tulsi is, I call it weed tea, because what I imagine people feeling when they're, like, sitting on the couch, just like, oh my God, just like melting into the couch. That's what I imagine Tulsi like that, or what weed is. So, like, I call it weed tea because I'm like, all right, time to get high. And I go drink my Tulsi tea and just melt into the couch, because that's what it feels like.
Your kids are going to be so confused. Dude, they're going to be like 13 talking about Tulsi keep tea, and everyone's going to look at them like, what are you talking about?
Their friends are like smoking. They're smoking a joint and they're like, what are you doing with that Tulsi tea?
Oh,
why are you smoking that?
Just to confuse it further, the beatnik kids used to call weed tea.
You know, when I was first getting into coffee during grad school years.
When I was first getting into coffee.
Yeah, well, or, you know, it is a gateway drug. But I was about the same time I went in up to Canada. And, you know, being in the Midwest, Canada is not that too far away. And we can actually do that as opposed to, you know, hopping the border, so to speak, and going down south. And so one of the things that I got accustomed to, or at least addicted to, because it is rather addictive, is Tim Hortons coffee. And I started calling it, Canadian crack, because like, I was still so new to coffee that, like, if I had one little cup of Tim Hortons, like, I was like shaking, man. I was just like, it was just ridiculous.
You were hooked on the Timmy Ho.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah. God. Yeah.
I'm laughing too because you're talking about hopping the border, and I grew up in Detroit. Like, Windsor was right there, and I was such a good sheltered kid that it never even crossed my mind to go over the border to try to do anything at all.
Much less drink some Timmy Ho.
Yeah, right.
And I'm sorry, but this is, we're just totally off the rails at this point. But when you talk about hopping the border in Canada, all I can think of is How I Met Your Mother. All I can think of is Barney making fun of Robin and then going to Tim Hortons and drinking the coffee and be like, wow, this is actually really good.
I have a story about how Tim Hortons saved me from being lost in Canada, but we're really digressing. So...
No, and one more point.
The comments on this episode are like, what just happened to your show?
Whenever Pat Flynn comes to visit his homies in Columbus, I know there's a Tim Hortons there, and I keep telling him, dude, try it out. I don't care about these coffee shops. Try it out. And he still apparently hasn't done it yet, but it's just...
I'll get on
we'll
that
have
train
to, like,
too.
Do a follow-up. And
be like,
yeah.
Dude, Tim Hortons,
yeah.
Where you been?
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
So, like, next episode, hopefully we can round this out by saying, by the way, Pat Flynn just had Tim Hortons, and this is what he said. For all you people out there.
You just mentioned that you focus more on service-based business as opposed to products. Why is that?
Yeah, this has been a big debate in my world since I left Lead Pages.
Yeah.
Because I have a course that I built on how to do webinars, mm-hmm. how to run, you know, great webinars. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I went back and forth on this. You know, do I launch that while I'm running my service business? And the thing is, I am in a mode right now, because this is still a recent thing for me. I am in revenue mode, like full on, like, you know, foot on the gas revenue. Because one, I want to build myself a runway if I decide to do these other things. And two, you know, I'd like to have my focus be on voiceover as well, as much as I possibly can. So being in a service-based business and focusing entirely on that, one, the profit margin is nuts, right? I mean, there's not a product that I have to create. There's not a team that I have to hire in terms of my service business. There's not mm-hmm. a whole lot of stuff. It's really, you know, the profit is crazy. The deliverable is incredibly clear. I can see a result with every single client. Whereas the course model, there's nothing wrong with it. And in fact, and someday I will probably release that, but that's way shelved for quite a while. With the course model, you know, you're impacting a lot of people, but the vast majority will never do anything, right? Mm. And I don't have a hand in saying, hey, person, you need to do this differently. that will help you and like, you know, that personalized thing. And there's definitely something to be said for a hybrid thing. And that's in the cards for me down the road. But in the service business, there's no funnel for me. There's no, you know, Facebook ad campaign. There's no nothing. It's one-to-one. It's high touch. It's personalized stuff. I can have a profound impact myself. It's not scalable. And I'm okay with that because I can command a high rate and I can get a high result and be really happy with that at the end of the day.
Mm. That's so interesting. So from what I'm hearing, you know, you're focused on service-based because it's easy in, easy out. You get high margins, so to speak, and it's just easily able to turn that wheel and keep going. I agree with that. I think that's especially for people who are needing to focus on revenue, which, you know, again, it sounds like where you're at right now. I think that's a good thing to do, especially if you're kind of like new to online business. Not saying that you are, but saying if someone is, that doing a service-based business gives you credibility over time. And then you turn and you can easily wrap that up with a product. However, I'm also looking at this from the fact that if you already have a product out there, or, you know, maybe even a book that, you know, is just kind of like, if someone is wanting to kind of test who you are first or just kind of find out more about you without actually engaging with you, then I also see that kind of perspective of bringing out a product as well. And in fact, when you have products that are out there, I think you can put your own personal time with working with people like at a much higher tier.
Yeah. You know, and I totally see what you're saying and I don't disagree. And I think for me though, it's just a matter of, it's just priorities. And I have put a really high weight on prioritizing things.
Mm.
And I recognize that every minute I spend on the course, even if it's just simple stuff, simple fulfillment, setting up the funnels, doing whatever, or even if I just put it out there and let it live, and if people ask about it, I send them to it. Every single minute that I put into that is a minute that I'm taking away from either voice acting or spending time with my family. And so I always look at it as like, with the webinar stuff, there's a really simple deliverable. There's a little bit extra front end work, but then I'm in it and I'm hosting the webinar every week and that's it. Like I just host your webinar.
Mm-hmm.
And when that's done, I'm done and I make adjustments and move on. And I do that. And then I do my voiceover work. But outside of that, I have more time to just head out of my office and hang out with my family. That is the biggest priority to me right now. And if I was like, and this is so funny because I just had this conversation with Scott Oldford. He gave me this guide to like getting from six to seven figures that he wrote. And I loved it. And I read through it and I realized halfway through, I was like, I don't care about getting to seven figures. I don't care. Like it's not a magical number for me. I don't care. I have a number that I wanted to hit for some goals that I have. And I have hit that and actually gone far over it unintentionally, which is a weird thing to say. But I went far over it and I was like, I'm good here. I'm happy here. And that has been a huge thing for me. Like I'm in revenue mode because I want to be at a certain mark and I've hit that mark and I just want to sustain that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really care beyond that. So it's I'm a weird example because so many people are like driving toward that next metric. And I'm like, no, I'm good here.
Well, that's really a good point. Like that's something that I talk about with my clients. Like we keep hitting like money is like the means for success and it isn't always. Success means something different to everybody. And so you've defined right. your success, at least for this portion of your life, as mm-hmm. the freedom to spend time with your family without the stress of all the other things running around the back of your head. And they might still be, but it sounds like that freedom is what you define success as right now. And so you are successful.
Yeah. And it's freed me up. It's freed me up to not have all those things pulling at my head. Like I have three things at all times that are my focus: doing a great job hosting webinars, doing a great job in voiceover, and spending as much time with my family as possible.
Yeah.
Those three things, that's my divided brain. And it's really easy to be like, right now I need to focus on webinars. When I'm done with this, then I need to focus on voiceover. And when my auditions or bookings are done, family time. And it is, to me, peace. Now I'm stressed out, of course, as much as the next person, but but there's so much peace in knowing that those are where I need to put my attention. I don't have to worry about course fulfillment, customer service, blah, 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 mm-hmm. blah, all these things that are great and great for a business, and you can outsource it, but then it's focusing on outsourcing. I just know where my priorities are, and I am not willing to get any kind of distraction from that. Mm. That's a really cool place to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gotcha. I
totally understand.
Well, and, you know, kind of going along your own point, recently had Glenn Livingston on the show, and, you know, here he is out there doing the whole, you know, $1 million thing with his ex, and now that he's actually divorced and, you know, talking about health, he doesn't mind. I think he said on the interview, he was like, yeah, I can get by with like $80,000 in Seattle, no problem, or wherever he's at on the West Coast. I'm like,
isn't that funny,
dude? And especially if he had like all these multi-million-dollar you know projects in the back and whatever, it's just kind of, you know, it I think there's a ramp up to a certain point. Like, there's so much hype and getting started, as you were saying, but then it's like, holy crap, I am getting like completely bogged down and not really happy, you know, not really fulfilling who I am. I'm more of a, you know, actor of who I want my, or who my followers expect me to be.
Yeah. And I, you know, the other thing is part of it is recognizing your weaknesses too. Like, one of my biggest weaknesses that has been completely highlighted since I've been married and had kids is that I am a terrible multitasker, like absolutely horribly atrocious. And I have a terrible memory. So you combine those two things and it's like my wife, if she has four things she wants me to do, she has to tell me two at a time because there's no way. It's not intentional. It's just horrible. You tell me three things and I have forgotten the third, but I have the first two. And so I'm not one of those people that can be on my phone and having a conversation or watching TV and be on my phone because I will miss one of the two things. I can't do it. I cannot multitask. So throughout the day, if I have, you know, five things that I need to like focus on, I just can't do it. I need to write things down and move on to one thing. I'm a terrible multitasker, and it makes it, which is weird because on a webinar, I can answer questions and present content and check the sales, and like, it's weird. But in general, like, I just can't do it. So recognizing that, eliminating the need to multitask has allowed me to be better at the things I'm doing as opposed to trying to be okay at five different things.
Amen.
So what are some of the things that you got going on the rest of 2017? And I mean, any, like, Veronica was talking about, I mean, it's just for right now, are you just happy with, you know, again, doing the service-based, you know, voice acting and that kind of stuff? Or is there anything that you're like, oh, this might be a side project for sure?
No, that's really it. I'm really excited about those things. And I'm pushing harder into the narration side of voice acting. Promos have been my focus, but I've been getting a lot of really cool narration auditions and I'm getting better at it. So I'd like to get in there. I'd love to land, you know, like, I'm a big HGTV fan. I'd love to land a show on HGTV or, you know, something along those lines, Animal Planet or something. I'd love to narrate one of those. So I'm focusing a lot of attention on that and trying to up my promo game because now's a good time to kind of get into new shows. But then in terms of webinars, I just picked up two really, really, really amazing clients, folks that I am so inspired to work with. And, you know, one of them has never done webinars and has a multi-million dollar a year business, has never done webinars. So this is a whole new aspect of their business, which I'm excited about. And one of my clients who is somebody who he personally has inspired me a lot over the past several years. And when I got the chance to work with him, I jumped at it. It turned into, instead of we were going to do one webinar together, now we're doing two. And then there's a third on the table. And it's like, it's just, I've been able to really focus on that. And so for the rest of this year, I'm focusing on doing webinars with people that I'm inspired by and helping them grow their business. So that's nice. My focus right now. And the rest of it, hey, listen, my oldest son is turning 4 next week and my youngest son is going to have his first birthday in December and I can't even handle it. That's it. Yeah.
That's good stuff. So, JC, you want to go into rapid fire questions? That one's yours.
Oh, I guess the first one is mine. Okay. Yeah. See, this is why I don't assign them at the very beginning, because you don't know it.
What are you talking about? Anyway. We've always assigned them. Fine. Do it.
Now children.
Mm-hmm. So moving on to...
Everybody needs to get along.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, shoot. So moving into rapid fire questions segment. Who would you say that are like three of the top influencers or teachers that have helped you get into where you're at?
Clay Collins from Lead Pages.
Mm-hmm.
Ezra Firestone.
Mm.
As you know, probably from Smart Marketer and Zipify.
Mm-hmm.
And if you like any of his shows, Think, Act, Get is an amazing podcast. Him and James Schramko are amazing. They are two. And then in the voice acting world, there's way too many to name. But I would say probably two of my best friends, Mike Brang and Bo Stevenson, who are incredible voice actors and rocketed into the industry.
Mm.
Mm. Nice. What is the hardest thing you've ever had to say no to?
I think there have been some client opportunities as I left Lead Pages, and got into this business when I only had one client, a few people. And again, you know, my rates are pretty darn high. And so saying no to clients because I feel like either I can't deliver for them or I don't think their business is quite ready for what I do. That's really hard. That's really, you know, I've turned down, six figures having to do that. But I did not want to start off my business by either failing somebody or doing something that I felt would harm them.
Mm-hmm. It's honorable. What's something that isn't as bad as you thought it would be?
Getting and losing a voiceover gig.
Mm.
I had many, many friends that have said, you get booked for that job and then suddenly it gets taken away. And it's one you were really excited for. I've had that happen a couple of times. And it's... It hurts and you're bummed, but it's not as bad as I thought it would be.
Mm. Share three truths you've learned over time that you want others to know.
Doing what you love and what you're passionate about is not actually the first thing you should focus on. It's going to make a lot of people upset. It's just not, because what you really should be passionate about is using whatever you're great at to help other people improve their lives in some way, and then get really passionate about that and find ways to build what you're passionate about into that. At least that's what I found.
That seems like the same thing to me, just about. Because if you...
Yeah, I mean, I think so.
You know, if you're passionate about something, you're going to naturally learn about it, I guess. And then if you're already naturally learning about it and making yourself better at it, then that's what you can apply to helping other people. So that, you know, that's kind of my thinking in that.
I see what you're saying, but like, I'm really passionate about comic books and reading comic books, but nobody's going to pay me to do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, it's really easy to, people like pitch this thing of like, do what you're passionate about, but it's like, yeah, but I'm not going to make a living reading comic books. I mean, I'm sure there's a way, but,
right.
But I have unique gifts that I can deliver and that sometimes I may not be necessarily passionate about that business or that thing or whatever it is, but I can get really passionate about serving an audience or a customer or whatever.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that's what I think. That's one thing. Another truth is that no matter how much you love what you do, not everything that you do that you love will, let me try to say this another way. You will not love everything about what you love. Sounds crazy. Mm-hmm. But like, I love voice acting, but there's a lot of parts of it that I don't love. I don't love auditioning for certain jobs. I don't love not hearing back. I don't love bookkeeping. I don't love chasing down clients when I need to get paid. I don't love the politics that happen sometimes in the business. I don't love those things. I don't love that my 9-month-old keeps me up many times in the middle of the night. But I still absolutely love being a dad more than anything else in the world.
Right.
So you're not going to love everything about what you love. Don't expect to. Embrace the things that suck about it and enjoy the things that are great.
Mm-hmm.
That's the second one. And what's a third truth? Third truth is that I am insanely flawed and I'm okay with that.
Amen.
And I think everybody should accept the fact that they're insane. The only person who's not flawed is my wife. But to me, she's perfect. And she'll never listen to this. So this is not me sucking up. That's true. To me, she's perfect. But yeah, so like accept the fact that you are incredibly flawed and sometimes your flaws make you better. I think like, so I'll give a quick example. I know this is the fast round, but, I am not, great at traditional sales stuff. Like all the little tips and hacks and like things you can do to like get people ready and the persuasion things and all that. Mm-hmm. I'm actually not good at those.
Mm-hmm.
But I sell on webinars like more than a lot of people because I think I'm not good at them. And so I don't try to do them. I'm real and I treat people like I'd want to be treated. And I demonstrate to them that I want to help them. And I believe whatever I'm selling will help them.
Mm-hmm.
So my flaw is that I suck at traditional sales. And so I just don't try to do it. And I do what I believe I'm good at and I serve.
Yeah. Mm.
What does it mean to live a life of abundance?
To serve in the best way you possibly can and to live the life that's true to you instead of the life that you believe everybody else is determining that you should live.
Mm. It's kind of like what we talked about with success, defining it for yourself.
Yes, mm-hmm. 100%. That to me is abundance because I'm surrounded by people that book a lot more voiceover work than me. I'm surrounded by people that make a hell of a lot more money than me. And I'm surrounded by people that are better parents, husbands, wives, kids, friends than me. But you know what? That's their reality. And I am doing the best I can and loving what I'm doing. So to mm-hmm. me, that's abundance.
Mm-hmm. Well, as we're about to wrap up, what are some things that someone can do today to make their business or job more efficient and have better results?
Yeah, I would say focus on, I keep using this word because I think it's important. Focus on how you can serve the people that you're working with and for. So if you have a job, how can you serve your employer and serve the customers of your employer? Like how can you serve them simultaneously while taking care of yourself in the process?
Mm-hmm.
I think we think a lot about, you know, how can I get a raise?
Right, the bottom line.
Whatever. Yeah, but if you serve better, it will serve you better, I believe. While also respecting yourself. And then, mm-hmm. yeah, I think that's a big thing. I would say that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. I can definitely agree with that. So if somebody wants to find you because they want additional help or they want to get to know you better or they're curious about your work, where can they find you?
Sure. Well, if you want to check out my voiceover work, it's at thevoiceoftimpage.com. If you want to... I don't have any opportunities to work with me for webinars, but if you want to stay in touch with me in the future, you can go to timpagewebinars.com. If you love comic books, I'm on Instagram at The Voice of Tim Page. And if you want to do the Twitters, I'm at Tim The Page. I don't tweet as much as I probably should, but and it's usually me retweeting comic book stuff because I'm a nerd.
Uh-huh. Perfect.
All right. Well, Tim, it was awesome having you on and finally getting to know what all you're up to. And blast, man. Thanks for coming on.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for having me and dealing with my nonsense.
Well, there you have it, girls and guys. I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Tim. In the show note extras for this session, I wanted to give you guys a little bit more of a feel for who he is and where you might have heard him. So in the first video, I have this promo reel of his where several of the voiceover he's done in the last couple of years can be found. You know, it's so cool to think about how far he's come in such a relatively short time. After that, I have an interview with Michael O'Neill from the Solopreneur Hour, which reminds me I need to start listening to that podcast again. Might even have him on the show sometime if he's up for it. Third on the list is an interview with Molly Marie Kaiser of Adventure Shorts, where she talks to Tim about why webinars are still useful in today's online world. And no, they haven't been overused, just probably not used right in recent years. And finally, in the conversation, Tim had mentioned that he had worked with Ezra Firestone. And the fourth video is Ezra's testimonial for the work that Tim does. So lots of great content to go through if you're wanting to know more about what Tim is all about. In the next session, I go solo with a guest that I think you guys have been dying to hear from. He co-hosts with me on the Junto Show and is co-founder at Collaborate 317 here in Indy. His name is Harrison Painter, and this is a chat that I've been looking forward to doing, as some of you were asking, who's the guy that co-hosts the Junto Show with you? Well, you'll get to hear who he is in session 117. And I think that you guys are going to love him and what he's all about. So stay tuned for it coming out in the next couple of weeks. But until then, guys, that's it for session 116. Don't forget to check out Fizzle if you want a one-stop shop for courses ranging from GLDs, podcast tips, to booking yourself solid with Jason Billows. You know, Fizzle is a great place to go. And join today for 5 weeks free by going to newinceptions.com/fizzle. So that said, thanks for joining Veronica, myself, and Tim today. Until next time, gang, dig in, have fun, and take care in whatever you're creating. And we'll see you back here next time.
Thanks for listening to the Angles of Latitude podcast. Connect with us at home, at work, or on the go. At facebook.com/newinceptions, on Twitter @newinceptions, Instagram @new.inceptions, and on the web @newinceptions.com.